Welcome to Publishing Dribble, the podcast that breaks the rules and helps you kickstart your career as a successful nonfiction author and entrepreneur. I'm your host, Malene Benson. Welcome, Publishing Rebels. Today with us from Perth, Australia, I'm happy to welcome Chris Benetti. Chris is the founder of Smart Author Media and an expert in book marketing, focused on advertised-based book funnels. So to date, Chris has helped his clients collectively generate over $20 million in sales from their books and digital offers. And in 2023, Chris sold over 19,000 books for his clients. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
I've been looking forward to this. Obviously, you have a lot of great stuff to share with the audience. The first question I want to ask you is, what are some of the most effective strategies to market a nonfiction book in 2024?
Well, I am a big proponent of paid advertising, obviously. And primarily, I really like the strategies that allow us to get reader data. So when someone buys a book from us or, you know, gets a book for free even, we're able to collect their contact information. So their name, their email, their phone number, and any other kind of details. And the reason why is that when we use platforms like Amazon, whilst we can do leveraged activities and run advertising over there, we're kind of at the whim of the platform, you know? And you just mentioned a story to me where you lost access to your Facebook account and you had to really stuff around to get, you know, access back, and you just ended up having to start a new one. So in that scenario, you didn't have the platform on your side. And so whenever we're, you know, launching books and running ads for certain things on all these platforms, if we're not list building at the same time, then ultimately we're at the whim of that platform and it can end at any time. So if we're constantly list building and, you know, getting people onto our email list, and we're able to, you know, nurture them and potentially ascend them into other offers that we may have, then I think we're going to be golden. And that's really where I love to play. And so coming back to your question, the strategies for me is advertising, because it's leveraged. We don't have to go out and speak to people and do podcasts and, you know, speaking tours and things like that to get people to buy our book or get our book. And, you know, also being able to collect the customer data so that we can create assets for ourselves. We can create databases of contacts who are potentially ideal fits to work with us, or, you know, at least potentially read other books that we might put out in the future.
And how do you collect that data? Because when people buy a book on Amazon, you don't get the data, do you?
You don't. So, you know, that's, you know, you're at the whim of that platform. So, you know, the most effective way, if you're doing selling on Amazon, is, you know, you've got your book here, and essentially you might have at the back of it a little call to action for resources. And that's an opportunity for someone to go, cool, I want the resources that goes along with this book. Let's go to the website and enter my name and email and maybe an order number potentially. It doesn't have to be that complicated, to be honest, though. And then they can essentially sign up to your email database in exchange for the resources for the book. Or you might have another call to action at the back to get a free course or something that's a bonus that goes along with the book, or even potentially to, you know, reach out and work with your team further. There might be some sort of way that they can actually go from book to email database or email list through that process. For the most part, what we focus on is book funnels, which essentially means we're not selling our book on Amazon. We're selling our book from Facebook ads and driving them to our website and getting contact data right away in exchange for the book that we have to give them.
And when you talk to clients about that, I imagine that they get worried about the ranking on Amazon then. Or not.
Well, sometimes I think it's something that you just have to be or come to terms with. You know, if you're selling on Amazon, obviously that counts towards your ranking, that counts towards your book sales, that counts towards potentially getting more reviews and things like that, which is all great for the algorithm over on Amazon. But it comes down to the strategy. If you want to have a lot of book sales, if you want to be recognized for those book sales, if you want to have a lot of social proof around that stuff on those platforms where people organically buy and buy with ads, then that's great. But you just have to realize that there's potential downfalls to that platform, as there is for running a book funnel or selling our book on our own website. We don't get book sales counted towards overall book sales, generally speaking. You know, we might not get people going and reviewing it on Amazon and, you know, all of the basically the flip side of what you would get if someone did buy on Amazon. You wouldn't get that if you sold it on your own website. But the website benefits, of course, are we actually collect their details. We can nurture and ascend them to potentially buy other offers from us as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a conversation I quite often have with authors as well. What is most important, and the ranking and the bestseller status, or to generate leads for the business? And it is a kind of a trade-off between the two, at least if you think about it as right this minute effect. Because if you generate a lot of leads, you also have more people that can go give the reviews. So, so it can be a matter of accepting that the bestseller status may not have to be important the first week. So what are some of the ads hypes that you have seen work the best if you look at the last 6 months maybe, and has it changed?
So I've been running ads for not very long in the grand scheme of things. Mid-2022 was when I kind of came into this realm and have been tremendously successful in my own respect. But what we've seen, we've tested hundreds of ads and spent probably $500,000 in ad spend in the past 18 months, 19 months. We've found that there's a big attraction towards real world stuff. So, and what I mean by that is if I physically have a book, and I'm just going to, Ryan Dice is my special guest for today in his book. But if I had a book and I run an ad where I flip through the pages of this book and show a few interesting things inside the book, you know, graphical and, you know, the awesome, you know, fonts and charts and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and I'm flipping through and showing all the interesting things, then that typically is an ad that will perform very well. And it's something that we can spend a lot of money on without it really hitting creative fatigue, because it's kind of an evergreen ad. It's not time sensitive or anything like that. We can just keep running that ad. We could probably spend, you know, $100,000 on that ad, to be honest with you, and it would still perform for us and get sales for us. So I find that those kind of ads work really well.
Short form video ads, how long should it be? Or could it be
like 30 seconds? Literally, yeah. Just like, you know, showing the book cover, flipping through the pages, and then kind of wrapping up to, you know, call to action or something like that. So it's really nothing complicated at all. And yeah, those work tremendously well from my perspective across several different clients that we've tested it on. Things like photos as well. So even if just like the author's holding the book out like this, things like that work quite well. Potentially, you know, lifestyle. So like you with a reader, you know, you and a person who's read the book, or even just the author holding the book themselves, that kind of stuff works well. And it's kind of timeless also. And then from a graphical perspective, if you have a graphic of the book mock-up itself in a 3D kind of looking format, that plus, you know, the actual offer call to action. So a lot of the times we'll do free plus shipping offers where, you know, you can get the book for free, just pay shipping and handling costs. So we'll just literally have like the book mock-up, and then below that, we'll just say free book, get yours today, you know, something like that. That's just very simple. And that is always probably the first ad I run for my clients, just to test the copy, to test the targeting, because I know that that creative is proven. It generally works for every single client that we have come through. And then typically I'll actually get my clients book into office and I'll start doing the book flip videos, and I'll start taking, I've got a stack of Ryan's books here, so I'll probably take a photo of the whole stack, you know, banked up. And I'll just do a bunch of different like in-house creatives that are like more real photos instead of the graphical creations that we do.
Yeah. And which platforms do you then run your ads on?
We are primarily Amazon for just getting book sales. And that's a very easy platform to run ads on. It's mainly just targeting based. And then when we do book funnels, we pretty much run all of our traffic on Instagram and Facebook exclusively. So the Meta suite of ads.
Yeah. And one of the challenges for many of those who write these expert, nonfiction expert books, they are selling also premium products. And one of the experiences that they have is that when they start like a VSL funnel, a video sales letter funnel, the investment to actually get that algorithm working for you, finding the right leads in, for example, a Facebook ads, the investment is quite significant, like from the get-go, in order to get to a point where you actually know your funnel is working, because it's a premium product. How is that when you're creating these, when it's a book funnel? How does that look? How much do people need to invest from the get-go?
That's a really good question. So for me, I would suggest that most of my clients and students, we look at at least $50 a day if we can budget that, you know, if we've got the investment there for that. That just allows for us to have some tests that we can run. I typically will say that within 30 days, we can kind of figure out what works and what doesn't work. But even myself, I've sold probably 25,000 copies of books at this stage. I still don't know what works for any new client that comes on board. Obviously, I have trends on what kind of creatives work, what kind of targeting to start off with for specific niches. So I do have some baseline, you know, perspective and understanding of what we can test right away, but I don't have the answers. But no, the cool thing is with advertising is you know, we've got a testing machine. We can exchange money for understanding and data. And so, you know, $50 a day for 30 days is $1,500. I would say that you should expect $1,500. And after that time, you'll be able to determine what works and what doesn't work. And then you can just reinvest into the things that do work for you. Now, obviously, the consideration is if they've got a book, then the book is typically a lead magnet or a business card or something towards what they have on the back end of the book, you know, their business service, their business coaching program, you know, anything like that. So I always am thinking about when I sign up a new client, what's the next thing for them? What's the actual outcome that we want to achieve? Because typically selling books is not the outcome. It's the front end outcome, yes, but it's not the overall outcome. The outcome is I want this book to get me really high quality leads so that I can sell, you know, my coaching on the back end or my services on the back end. So we always look at that. And then to further that, we look at what's the mechanism for selling that? Is it a sales call? Is it a VSL? Is it a webinar? So with that in mind, the end of the book funnel is typically geared towards what that mechanism is. So if they buy the book, the thank you page is, hey, I've just released this new training. Click below to, you know, reserve your seat for it or go watch it. Or even if it's a VSL, we could have a VSL right on the thank you page that says, hey, thanks so much for getting the book. If you want help implementing the strategies from inside the book, then I'd love to invite you to a strategy session with myself or my team where we can spend 30 minutes going through your specific, you know, circumstances and help you implement XYZ from the book. Or if it's an invite to a strategy course, anything that's a little bit more simple, we can just literally have an embed of a calendar below there and a simple thank you note. And hey, if you want more help, click below, book a time kind of thing. So, you know, whatever the vehicle is or the mechanism is to actually help them further along to what their next thing in the overall, you know, outcome goal of the campaign is, then I'll always gear people back towards that. And then the same is true for, you know, our follow-up email sequences. All of that comes back around to what's the next thing? How do we get some onto a strategy call, you know, webinar, whatever? And then I'll even potentially run some follow-up ads as well. So, you know, I'll do some retargeting. Everyone who's bought the book, let's send them back to the strategy session page or let's send them back to the webinar registration page or whatever. Hey, thanks for getting the book. Literally you can say this in the ad. Thanks for getting the book. I'd love for you to do XYZ. So it's all, you know, how do we accomplish the big goal of the campaign?
Yeah. And knowing your customer acquisition cost is quite important there and that you have it, maybe not a premium product, but something that is more profitable than the book at the back end.
Yeah. And, you know, what I found is that there's about a 1% conversion rate from people who buy the book to invest in the programs. So, you know, and all it takes is a little bit of care and follow up. Like, I think people give up a little bit too easy when it comes to actually nurturing and converting people to the back end offers that are more premium. And, you know, I've seen my clients with $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 programs on the back of their book, and they sell about 1% of people into those. Yeah. So if we had 100 books, I'd sell one person. So when you start to do the math on that kind of stuff, it becomes very easy to understand that we can get tremendous results overall with marketing books.
Yeah. And just to make sure that all listeners really got that, it means that it's really no problem is that if I paid $5,000 to sell those 100 books, it's really not a problem.
Yep.
That can be hard to wrap your mind around, but that's how it's really not about the book sales. It's about the customer data, right?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I think if you're also smart with how you set up your book funnel as well, you can drastically decrease the amount you spend to get someone to buy your book in the first place. So, you know, if I was paying, gross $100 to get someone to buy my book. 100 books would cost times 100 is $1,000, right? Is that right? 100 times 100.
I was lost on the
$10,000. Yeah, that sounds like $10,000 actually.
Wait, you could sell a number of smaller products between the book and the premium product.
Yeah. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is, like, here's another good example for you. So this client here, we're selling their book, and it cost us about $45 for someone to get this book for free plus shipping. So they're not making any money there, but their funnel, we've got 3-4 other offers in the funnel right away after someone buys. And that actually increases our average order value when someone buys the book to, it's roughly $40 at the moment. So it's not actually costing them $45. It's costing them $5 net.
Mm.
So, you know, we're offsetting the cost per acquisition from $45. We're making $40 in the funnel per person. So that's bringing down our net cost to just $5. So now you can see that, you know, 100 books at $5 is $500 instead of, you know, previously we were spending $10,000 potentially if it was like full priced, as an example. So, and then we've still got back end offers after the fact as well. So you can see that it can be quite lucrative if you know what to set up, and then also aren't afraid to test different things through the process.
All right. Is it always the print version of the book that you offer, or can it also be?
No, not at all. It just depends on, you know, what the client's comfortable with. Usually we'll start with the print version of free plus shipping if they can, you know, do that. Obviously there's costs associated with that. You know, they got to do the printing, fulfillment, and all of that kind of stuff. And if you're in America, there's a ton of different resources that can actually make that a very simple process. But for the most part, if the client has that available to them, then we'll start there. But, you know, I've definitely sold a lot of copies digitally. I've given away a lot of copies digitally as well. So it just really depends on what the client strategy is, how much investment they want to put into it, what the experience of the readers is going to be. Because you'll just find if someone gets a physical book versus a digital book, they're probably going to be a little bit less likely to want to open it up and read it, unless it's obviously, you know, an EPUB and it can be imported to their Kindle very easily or something along those lines. It's a little bit harder to read a PDF and, you know, stay consistent with it, a little bit less valuable, generally speaking.
So when you do it with a non-physical book and it's on the author's website that people go grab that book, is it then, how do you deliver that? In a protected way, or do you kind of accept that you are sending people a file? How does that work?
Yeah, we just send the file. You know, if people are going to rip you off, they're going to rip you off regardless. But most of the time, there's not really an issue. I would even say, like, potentially there's a benefit. If someone's going to, like, go, oh, this book's awesome, you need to read it, and they'll send the copy. You know, that's, we kind of got a book buyer for free in that
it's a
example.
Free lead.
Whereas we're spending $45 on ads to get someone to do that. So it's, you know, it's kind of a benefit. And if they read it, then they might want to work with the author as well, which obviously increases the chances of them buying a, you know, coaching program or something along those lines. So, you know, I'll just put it out there and say it's probably a benefit and it's not really too much to be concerned about.
No, I totally agree. But it's not common. It's something that I hear that authors are very worried about, protecting that as an asset. Where I yep. feel it's the authority that's the asset. It's not the actual mm-hmm. book.
I would agree with you 100%.
All right. Talk to us a little bit more about selling versus giving books away. So when do you recommend which strategy?
Yeah. So I would put it down to where the author is at with their career or their business. I find that giving books away is a very good strategy if you want a lot of volume of leads coming through. If you want an easier ads campaign to run, an easier funnel to run and manage, and your invitation offer or the mechanism I mentioned before, you know, like getting someone to book a strategy call is very aligned with your book. Like the offer you have on the back end of your book is very aligned, is very congruent. I would highly suggest anyone who's like a service provider or, you know, they're even a small coach, you know, doesn't really have a big team or anything like that, like definitely go hard on giving your book away for free. Literally just enter your name and email and I'll send you the book. You know, it's such a good strategy in my opinion. The only, you know, small caveats here is like, you'll get much more volume, lower lead quality, I would say is probably the biggest concern. People obviously are scared of devaluing their book by giving it away for free as well. And then besides that, you know, we're not actually making any money from the book or the book funnel offers as well. So what your lead costs are is what your lead costs are. So if you're spending $15 to get someone to download your book, then that's what it is. You know, we're not able to offset that with the funnel revenue like we would with a paid book. But most certainly, you'll probably get about 10 times the amount of lead volume that you would versus a paid book funnel. The campaigns are much easier to run and manage. You know, it's easier for us to actually validate our advertising versus a paid book funnel. There's a lot of complications that can come into that, especially when we have several upsell offers and things like that. It's very hard to see what's working and optimizing every little piece across the process. So if you're a less savvy advertiser or less established, then definitely I think a free book funnel is to go. And, you know, for the most part, I would say two steps is all you need. Someone to opt in to download the book, name and email, right on the sales page. And then the second step is the next steps. So, hey, thanks for getting my book. If you want help implementing some of the strategies on the book, book a call with me below. You know, again, coming back to if you're a service provider with a book, if you're a coach, a small-time coach with a book, then that's definitely like the two-step process I would implement. And you'll just get so many leads, you can't handle it. And you'll get a percentage of those leads booking in a call directly with you, which is essentially a sales call that you can then, you know, tell them about your services and hopefully enroll them in that.
I just had the thought that, have you tested if you, instead of it's just name and email, what if it was a $0 checkout page? Would that be enough friction for raising that quality, lead quality, don't you think? Might be.
Yeah, I mean,
actually, you haven't tested that.
Yeah, you could. I mean, I haven't necessarily, but you could definitely have, if your funnel platform or cart platform allows for it, a lot of platforms like ClickFunnels and things like that, which are pretty popular, but you can't do zero priced products, but you know, there's other things like QuickConvert or Simboli where you can have an applied discount, which basically if the coupon code's applied and it says $0 on the product, you can just enter your name and email and we'll just say no credit card required. Kind of thing, yeah. And you can just submit. So in that scenario, I think that would be quite attractive because then it's like, you know, it could be discounted from $25 or whatever down to zero. And then it's like, oh, wow, tangibly, I'm actually saving these $25 to get the book. And that might actually bring it back up from a status increase where you're not devaluing the book overall. So I think that would be definitely a worthy test to run.
Yeah. Yeah, and it would allow for some order bumps as well to get that cart value up maybe. Yeah, that would be worth trying. Maybe I should try that with my book. I use my book for testing.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It could simply just be them adding an order bump checkbox and then that does then require them to get credit card information put into the cart to actually purchase. So I think it would, that would be definitely be a good test.
Yeah. So I know that I did see like a browse through the episodes on your podcast, and I see that in one of the episodes, you talk about collaborations. So what kind of collaborations would you recommend an author kind of entered into, engaged in?
I'm a big fan of collaborations. It's how I've always done business. You know, who has my audience? Who can I collaborate with where, you know, I recommend my service or they're able to recommend my service to their audience and I'm able to recommend their service to mine and so on. So, you know, for me, I think if you find people who potentially have a good audience size and would be a great fit with your book, then I would suggest like reaching out to people and potentially offering referral commissions and even doing 100% referral commissions for everything in the book funnel. If you really put a good book funnel together, that is essentially another avenue for you to acquire customers without having to spend advertising dollars. And so therefore, if someone say came through that book funnel from an affiliate and they bought everything in there and they maybe made $300 and you could send that money directly to the affiliate 100%, then you know that's energy and effort that you wouldn't have had to put into your own marketing. And the purpose of the offers in the book funnel anyway is to offset the money you would spend on the advertising. So therefore there's no net loss plus you're also being built up to this affiliate's audience as a trusted advisor, authority, and whatnot. And so I think that that's tremendous from an actual brand building and authority building perspective. And then you're also rewarding that person for sending people towards you. And it's not just like a, hey, just send people towards me and I'll give them a book. It's like, no, hey, I'll also give you money back. And that's just going to incentivize them to continue doing it more and more and more and more. because they're making money every time. So, you know, those kind of like collaboration plays, I'm a huge fan of, because it's ultimately is another avenue that you can bolt onto advertising and just increase the awareness and everything that goes around your book. And then that ultimately can, you know, hopefully get you good leads that come through that potentially convert into your programs and things like that.
Two questions on that. How would you then price the book? And what would, when you said a 100% commission, is that from the book or from some of the upsells as well? Or what would you actually offer?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, I would still run the same book offer if it's free plus shipping, if it's a low price digital book, if it's a free digital book, and then you've got maybe your paid bumps, like you mentioned. I would still run the same kind of offer you're running with ads, but, you know, you might have the funnel separated for the affiliate so you can track everything specifically, or use a affiliate software and give them an affiliate link. And then, yes, I would also give 100% of the book sales, the upsell sales, the order bump sales, everything inside that book funnel, not back end, but the, you know, everything directly inside that front end funnel. And then that way they can just get rewarded for everyone that comes through. You might have your book priced, let's just say free plus shipping. You might have an order bump that's $37. You might have an upsell that's $197, another one that's $97, and so on, plus downsells and whatnot. And so there's a potential for someone to have like $400 average, you know, a cart value potentially. And so they could make up to $400 per person that buys your book for free, you know, as an example. And so like, that's the kind of scenario that I'm thinking about. And that's highly attractive to any affiliate that comes through.
Yeah, oh, that's great stuff. That's definitely something that, it's a strategy that anyone really can apply. No matter niche,
today,
no matter...
you can go and find a list of people who's got your audience and is a good fit, and you can go, hey, I'd love to give you potentially up to $400 per person that buys my book, you know, if you can do a couple email blasts or whatever, just to test, and I'll send you the money within 7 days. You know, you can just say that kind of thing. And, or, you know, I would also just reach out and go like, hey, is there an opportunity to collaborate? I'd love to jump on a quick call and chat about, you know, giving you X amount per person who buys my book from your list. Would you be open for that? And most people would say, yep, cool. Let's have a 15, 20 minute chat and figure out if it's a good fit. And then that way you can also, you know, explore opportunities for you to then support them as well. And I think that's the big key, is like, you're not just asking for them to promote you. You're also going, cool, how can I also promote them to, you know, the people that come through?
Yes, good points. So my last question before we wrap up is, when you look into 2024, what is some of the hot topics in book publishing that's going to come up?
Oh, I think AI is taking over with writing side of things for sure. How good it is another question, but there's definitely a slew of people who claim that you can write quality books with AI. So my good friend Sean Vossler has a whole software call around it called Movable Type. Another friend of mine, Rob Cosberg, just released a book called Write with AI or something along those lines. So I do think that it's just going to become more and more prevalent over time, especially as the tools develop and whatnot. What I'm actually quite excited about is audiobook creation with AI. I don't think the platforms like 11 Labs are there yet in terms of being able to do accents like yours or mine, but they can definitely do American accents quite well from what I've heard. So there's a good potential for every single person in the world who has a book to be able to utilize different AI platforms to actually have the books become audiobooks, which allows for you to have opportunities to sell more things through your book funnels or even put them on Audible and just become more well-known. There's a small percentage of the world who only listens to audiobooks or prefers that as a platform. And I'm probably one of them these days, just due to time constraints. So I think there's a lot of tremendous opportunities with AI, generally speaking. But for me, you know, I'm not really getting too distracted. I think that it can be very overwhelming, and it is. So if you're an author listening to this and you're overwhelmed by AI, don't worry, I am too. I'm just sticking to the fundamentals in 2024 personally, you know, making sure that we're testing all the time. We test 1 to 5 to 10 new creatives every single week, which is the images or videos that go with your ads. We're always testing new different sales page structures. We're always testing new different offers for the front end, free plus shipping, low price digital, high price digital, digital bundles, et cetera. So we're always just testing new things. And what we're finding is this, every client's different. And so we're just going all in on what works for the specific clients based on the fundamentals of selling and advertising books.
Oh, that's a key takeaway, I think, that accepting that it is, once you embark on that journey, It is experimentation. You need to experiment, but the great thing is that it's data driven. So that you will know what works and what doesn't. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Chris. This has been very enlightening. I'm sure that people will love this episode.
Thanks for having me, Malene. It's been a pleasure.